Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Dawkins with 50 seconds to go in that
nice
half.
Hands, Goldwire.
Goldwire's made some plays.
Look at that pass.
The bounce pass. Zion to Jones for two.
NBA, where are you going to play him? One, two, three, four, five, whatever you want.
Just play him. Put him out there.
Goodness.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Leila Rahimi in for Mully this morning, bringing Eli Hershkovich, who moves chairs over here. And one of the best things about this tournament, I think we can refer to Eli as the breakout star of the tournament.
Amen.
Our breakout star of the tournament. Eli, thanks for coming in switching jobs for a segment.
No problem, David.
Biggest surprise of the weekend for you?
I would say zone defense is being successful. So not just a specific team, but you saw it. Yeah, I know that's not like a hot take necessarily.
I wasn't supposed to laugh over the air. Just like, but you, wait, zone defense is being successful,
right? And
overall,
it's stymieing offenses that much.
All right.
You saw an LSU offense that was electric for the first half or so, and into the second half of that game, and then they went cold. Maryland on that comeback. Thought Maryland was going to win that game. The bad beat there for LSU too. Winning by two, the line at -2.5. And then you think about zone defense yesterday, and this wasn't necessarily surprising, but I loved watching it. UCF literally telling Duke, just shoot. One of the UCF guards was pointing his fingers out, shoot the ball, Duke, because they can't shoot. And you saw Trey Jones hit a three wide open. They were literally giving Duke about 10 feet of space to shoot threes. So I would say zone defense being implemented that much and being that effective so far.
I'm just going to be the one to represent the entire text line representing Iowa today, because I feel
bring it.
You guys have to have some sort of acknowledgement. And frankly, this is my time to air my grievance with Eli, because when I was filling out my bracket at NBC Sports Chicago last week, I had one team written down because I was still working on it. And that team was the Iowa Hawkeyes, who you talked me out of. And I thought, yeah, you're right, Eli. I probably shouldn't pick Iowa. They've been pretty inconsistent. But what do? They beat Cincinnati, and then they almost beat Tennessee, who I have in my Final Four. So I'm going to represent everybody from the Hawkeye contingent on the text line and say, why? Why didn't you like them? Why didn't you think they were going to advance and then play Tennessee to such a good game?
Yeah, well, go back to the Cincinnati game. Another Bearcats collapse. You go back to last year in the round of 32 and Cincinnati blowing that 20-plus point lead to Nevada. So that's last season. And then this year up by close to double digits in that first half, and then the same amount of points in the second half as well. And then Iowa with the comeback, not necessarily doing it by threes, but this team has one of the highest free throw rates in the country. So when you're able to get to the line and get the opponent in foul trouble like Cincinnati, a team that doesn't have scoring, and again, it's similar to Virginia, when you have low possessions, a low possession team that plays at a slower tempo, you're going to have less chances to come back. And when Cincinnati was down, it was over after that. The Tennessee game yesterday, though, that was the same exact storyline for Iowa this entire season. Getting calls down the stretch, BS calls. To me, because you think about the Bohannon three, that mm-hmm. Lamont Turner was called for the foul there. That was a block. They've gotten so many calls like that all season long. Fran McCaffrey, like you mentioned, David, I think had the ref's ears throughout that first half, and that paid dividends
in
the
was
second
nibbling
half.
Nibbling on them, chewing them, and making them into
ripping
like
them off,
cauliflower
really.
Ear. It was really animated. Fran always is animated, but I think he was in mid-season form. So, Eli, and this is Eli Hershkovich from Action Network joining us here in Mullion Hall. When you look at the tournament, and I want to be fair here, because we began the program and sort of poo-pooing the fact that there's only one double-digit seed in the Sweet 16. There's no Fletcher McGee and Wofford. They're gone. John Morant and Murray State bowed out after, you know, valiant effort, capturing imagination in round one and losing to Florida State in the second round. Is this tournament living up to people's expectations? And if it isn't, why do you think that is?
Well, me being a college basketball junkie, I would say yes, because I watch this stuff all day long. But from the perspective of a casual fan, just tuning into the tournament, filling out their bracket, you got to go with no, because there is no 11 seed, double-digit seed Loyola Chicago, a mid-major, or even UCF, who, while the American Athletic Conference isn't considered a mid-major anymore, it's still not a high-major conference, not a Power 5 conference in college basketball. So That would have been one of the biggest days, by the way, for the AAC in probably their league history to have Houston in the Sweet 16 along with UCF. So just the fact that you don't have a non-Power 5 conference team, and I know you could consider Gonzaga a mid-major, but they're not a mid-major anymore. The West Coast Conference is a mid-major without Gonzaga, but with it's not.
The AAC, who has UConn. It's not exactly a sleeper conference.
Fair enough, but UConn has been down the last couple of years after winning that title. Kevin Ollie's been out for the last couple of years, bringing in one of the Hurley brothers there. So, no, I understand what you're saying. I mean, UConn's won two titles in the last decade, so they've had success. But overall, just for a conference that was supposedly going to have a down year, it would have been surprising.
You watch Duke, and you watch them struggle at times with the three-point shot. They actually were better than expected yesterday against UCF at times, but flaws were detected in Duke. Did they show you that they were more vulnerable than you expected? And is this somebody that Virginia Tech, who's very familiar with Duke, can beat?
Yes and yes. I thought this team was vulnerable going into this tournament, but not as much as we saw yesterday. I had UCF plus 13.5, so I thought they were going to give them a battle, keep it close, single digits. And then, again, the three-point shooting for Duke, you're talking about one of the worst three-point shooting teams in college basketball. So when you're forced to space the floor like UCF made them do, again, telling them to shoot the ball. You had their players speaking to them, shoot the basketball. And when Zion isn't allowed to create in transition, because when UCF's offense was effective in the half court, Duke was very limited. That's where they thrive off, in their transition offense. A Virginia Tech team that wants to push the pace. So it'll be interesting, because if Virginia Tech isn't able to force turnovers against a Blue Devils team that wants to do the same thing, push the tempo, Virginia Tech could be on the downside, because you don't want to get in a shootout against a Duke team that does the same thing you do. Michigan State, though, is the Achilles heel for Duke. I have this upset going back to when I first made my bracket, and I'll stick with it. Michigan State's defense is the most underrated part of this team, and we saw Cassius Winston take over once again against Minnesota. A 7-0 run, a personal 7-0 run, when Minnesota came back in that game. I think he's going to be the reason why MSU beats Duke if they face.
He's a stopper. He can even stop Tom Izzo.
Going back to the Bradley game, yes.
That still didn't go away over the weekend, did it?
No.
It did not. And then you had Mike Krzyzewski on the other side hugging the UCF players after the loss. We digress.
Would he have done that if they lost that game? No chance.
Probably not. But hey, it happened. So I want to point out two games that I think are going to be really exciting. And it's the Florida State Gonzaga game, which I am super, super excited to watch, because you could argue that that is where a real upset could actually take place. And given how Florida State has played, I don't know that that would be that much of an upset, relatively speaking. And then the other one is your vaunted U of H Cougars taking on Kentucky, because you have complimented the defense so much on the part of Kelvin Sampson's team.
And Kentucky looked pretty shaky against Wofford.
Without P.J. Washington, yeah. Exactly. Houston held Ohio State scoreless for an 8-minute stretch yesterday, or without a field goal for an 8-minute stretch. Think about how difficult that is. Granted, Ohio State got to the line a higher free throw rate, similar to Iowa across college basketball. But that Cougars defense is intense. But we'll get to that in a second. With Gonzaga, Florida State, FSU knocked Gonzaga out of the tournament last season. And that line is high, considering that. And the way the Florida State Seminoles are playing, it's about 6.5, depending on where you're shopping around. That's probably the best value you're going to get in the Sweet 16. We saw what Cabangeli can do against, granted, a Murray State team that's undersized, but a Florida State team that can create mismatches. They have a team that has a bunch of ball handlers as well. So I like Florida State to at least cover that game. And then with Houston against Kentucky, that Kentucky team is vulnerable, like you guys have discussed. Their guards are shaky. Higgins can have turnover problems at times. Hero didn't shoot well at all against Wofford. That Cougars defense, their ball pressure, it's very similar to Texas Tech. They don't force turnovers, but they create mismatches, and they get the opponent's offense into a rut, like we saw against Ohio State yesterday. Houston covers the 3 and wins that game for me.
Eli Hershkovich from the Action Network. You'll hear him throughout the week on various shows, various platforms. Sports Talk Live tonight?
Who knows?
Okay. Well, to be determined. That sounds like a negotiation ploy there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.